Hello and welcome back to the Goodness Lover Show. Today we're joined by Dr. Eric Zielinski, who's a best-selling author and founder of the website naturallivingfamily.com, which is viewed by millions of people every year. He's here today to talk to us all about essential oils and how they can actually be a powerful addition to your health regime. We'll learn about the history, usages, and how essential oils might actually also help with gut health. Let's get into it.
Dr. Eric Zielinski, we are so excited to have you on the show today and to talk everything around essential oils.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love, you know, the best thing about these podcasts are the pre-interview chats. And, you know, it's just really great to connect with y'all and love what y'all are doing. You're impacting so many people and helping folks. And it's really an honor and a privilege to be on the show.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been, I think we've been working together for a little while now and we've hung out a little bit. So yeah, we're super excited to finally join our tribes together and discuss everything around essential oils, which we know you've been championing for
a very long time.
So I was actually curious to dive into, how did it all start for you? Like this thing, I think it was a few years ago, it became a bit of a craze, but I'm assuming you were there before it was cool, I'm guessing.
Yeah. You know, actually right at the height of it all, the Bible says something, a man, a woman, a person's mind plans their ways, but the Lord directs their steps. And there's something about that proverb. This was not part of my 5 or 10 or 15, 20 year vision plan. This was not on the vision board. It was something where I quit a perfectly good corporate job, working, by the way, for Dow Chemical, which is interesting. It's a whole kind of irony of it all, to chase a dream to open up a health center. My wife and I wanted to have an abundant life, natural health, wellness center, chiropractic, and support for home birth and support for homeschool and just holistic ways. And I went through school. And this is really the cool thing is that as a college student going back to get my doctorate degree, the wonderful thing was, you know, invention birth out of necessity. We really quickly became broke, like financially. We were just pinching 2 pennies just to make the ends meet. Student loans weren't covering it. And 1, 2, 3 babies later, it was a financial struggle just to get by. And, you know, being in my 30s and having a family, I did whatever I could do to put food on the table. And there was a scholarship opportunity at my school to write a case study and ended up being something I loved to do. I got the scholarship. I ended up getting published in a peer-reviewed journal, and it started what has now become, you know, a 10-year career in public health. And so at the time, again, being broke, absolutely broke, living on food stamps and barely getting by, I started writing. I started becoming essentially a ghostwriter for hire. And one of my clients at the time in my senior year last year commissioned me to write a series of public health reports on essential oils. And that was my job, to literally read hundreds of trials, to talk about the therapeutic efficacy of how essential oils can be used to balance blood pressure, blood sugar, how it could potentially even fight cancer, how it could even soothe or heal gut issues like SIBO or IBS, whatever it might be. And my mind was blown. I was like, what in the world is this stuff? Now, part of that discussion is my wife's been using essential oils since she's been a teenager. She had a chemical burn on her face, and her mother's friend is an Ojibwa Indian or Cherokee Indian practicing Ojibwa medicine, and nothing worked for my wife. She tried creams and she tried over-the-counter stuff. And my wife's mother's friend gave her her first essential oil kit when she was 14. And that turned her on to lavender, which ended up helping heal her face. And so my wife always used essential oils since we got married. But to be quite transparent, I just marginalize them as smelly stuff. I'm like, well, that's what my wife uses, right? You know, I'm not going to put on Ylang Ylang and go play beach volleyball with my guy friends. You're going to take the night card away from me, right? Seriously. So I just like, oh, okay, whatever. And another part of it, when I started to investigate them early on, I went to Dr. Google. By the way, don't ever go to Dr. Google. I went to Dr. Google and I'm like, okay, essential oil for acne, essential oil for a pimple, because of significant gut problems as a child, I've always had horrible, horrible skin, and cystic acne. That's a whole nother story. So I developed a pimple several years ago, and Dr. Google told me to get a drop of oregano, put it on my skin. Okay, well, great, because the carvacrol and oregano has been shown to kill the bacteria related to acne. Well, the article didn't talk about diluting the essential oil. It just said put straight oregano. Well, it burned my skin like really bad. Oh, and I ended up getting like a quarter size mark around my skin that are made more eruptions, caused more acne. I'm like, okay, this stuff is dangerous. This stuff is real. What am I getting myself into? And so that really just propelled me to where I'm at today, because I started to realize, you know, I don't really have a medicine cabinet. I don't have something that has a natural ability to combat infection, to help with disease, to help with symptoms like I would with medicine. And no offense to supplements, no offense to food. But if you have a migraine, you know, nothing you're going to eat is going to make that go away within 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And so I wanted a medicinal punch. I wanted something where I didn't have to rely on medicine. And that's where essential oils came into my life. And so here we are later. Wow, three best-selling books. We're currently writing or preparing our fourth one. And we somehow became like the go-to about how to use essential oils online. And quite frankly, I think the reason why is because we don't sell them. And I won't even recommend the company that we use or companies, because in American market, the Food and Drug Administration greatly restricts people from selling a product that they talk about health claims. So for us, like, look, we're just going to talk about the health claims. We're going to talk about what the research shares and let you find a company that works for you. And we'll help you find one. But that's where I think we're very unique in that we're completely not branded and we're financially unbiased. And so next thing you know, like 5 million visitors on our website, and we just have this massive following of people that want to learn how to use these things safely and effectively.
That's such a cool story, like how it started. So I'd love to zoom into your brain as you were starting to peel through this data. What were some of the big aha moments for you when you discovered, wow, these aren't just some smelly things, like these can have a therapeutic impact on someone fighting a certain condition? Was there a certain three breakthrough studies that you read, or was there something that you really started getting a little fire to start this website?
Yeah, a couple of things. The history of aromatherapy really hit me. Don't believe what you've heard, y'all. Jesus didn't use frankincense oil. It didn't exist, right? Well, how do I know? Well, steam distillation wasn't invented until 9th century AD by Arab alchemists. There you go. Right? You like the myths out there, like the healing oils of the Bible, like all that stuff. The myths out there in the blogosphere are rampant. And that was number one. Number two was like, I have to question almost everything about what I'm taught, because a lot of folks are just, unfortunately, they haven't educated themselves, or they've been passed down information from different multi-level marketing companies, which, by the way, I love network marketing. It's a great business model. Cool for you. But I'm not getting my health advice from a network marketer. Like, they're not a physician, right? I'm a licensed primary care physician. And there's something to be said about balancing that with what the research shares and about how to use certain things like natural medicine. So the history was really important. It was really important to know that you just can't put a drop, like, you know, I just can't put a drop of this in my mouth and expect there to be no adverse reactions. I mean, like, they're highly caustic. They could cause what's known as sensitization. They could cause what's basically allergic, like contact dermatitis. You can be allergic to these things. And I'm like, well, why? To answer your question, like, why? Is because they're the basis for all medicine today. And that right there should be the truth bomb that stops everyone for just a second. Like, what are these things? Essential oils are volatile organic compounds. A volatile meaning they readily evaporate at ambient room temperature. That's why when you put your nose into a rose, you smell the beautiful aroma, because there's literally particles, microscopic particles that are being emitted from the plant that tell your nose, hey, there's something here, and it smells wonderful, right? Volatile, organic meaning carbon-based, and compounds meaning there are many different chemicals. So when you're pulling up this bottle of lavender, you're looking at 150 to 200 different plant chemicals in there. So you're also looking at 3 pounds of lavender flowers here. Chew on that for a second. 3 pounds of lavender flowers. Like, how much does one leaf or one blossom weigh? Like, 3 pounds. It's unbelievable amount of concentrated plant matter. So why is this important? Well, when our ancestors, for example, used to use willow bark, which has been known for thousands of years for its analgesic pain relieving property, like it's an anti-inflammatory. Our ancestors extracted that and they used it as poultices and salves and they made ointments out of it. Well, the wonderful thing about science is science determined what is it about willow that really helps kill pain and soothe. And it's a salicylin. It's a chemical in the salicylate family, a methyl salicylate. So, well, what do? Really smart people took that, extracted it, and manufactured it chemically and put a white shiny coating on it and sold it as aspirin. It's literally the basis for aspirin. Wow. So what else does that tell us? It tells us that Dr. Susan Chemist, Dr. John Chemist doesn't wake up in the middle of the night with a dream or a vision with chemical structures to create new drugs. It's these drugs are not made in vacuums. They're all based at one point or another in their evolution from plant chemistry at its core. Whether they extract limonene, whether they extract menthol, you've heard of eucalyptus menthol, I'm sure you've heard of like menthol Bengay or sprays or anything because menthol painkilling. Well, what do you think menthol is? It's a primary component of peppermint. It's a primary component of spearmint. So they take the menthol, they take the eugenol, they take the carvacrol, they take the pinene, these chemicals, and then they make drugs out of them. Wow, that is completely different than I just want to smell good. This goes way beyond, you know, like using patchouli because you're a hippie, right? And that's the stigma in America. You're a hippie. You liked patchouli. You like to use these smells. It makes you smell good, feel. No, this is medicine. It's literally medicine at its core. And that's what threw me for a loop because before the advent of the antibiotic, what do you think people used to use? What do you think the World War I and World War II combat medics used? Essential oils on the front lines. It was the only thing that could help combat infection. Lemongrass, tea tree, eucalyptus, lavender, clove. And then since then, sadly, it's kind of all come full circle. But in the mid-40s, when the advent of the antibiotic came, people are like, well, I don't want to use that stuff anymore. Which you can't blame them. Who wants to walk around smelling like pizza? Like oregano has a very potent smell. It's messy. And God forbid you get some on your hands and you rub your eye. You're going to burn your eyeball. Like this happens. This is like messy apothecary stuff. And most people, you know, believe it or not, most people are lazy. They want a pill. They want something quick and easy. They don't want it to deal. Like I make my own capsules at home. I get my dropper, I get my capsule, I take it. Who's willing to do that? Very few people, sadly. So when the advent of the antibiotic came, it totally took away this need and this reliance on plant medicine. And next thing you know, here we are 50, 60, 70 years later, and people are realizing, what did we do? We went completely reliant on plant medicine to completely reliant on pharmaceutical grade medicine to now there's like, okay, there may be a balance of the two. And that's what I'm proposing. Mm-hmm. A balance of the two. You need to do what you need to do to stay alive and be well. But to say it's all or nothing, and to say in the cancer world, that's why I love integrative cancer because it's like, or integrative oncology, because when you talk to a patient, it shouldn't be you have to take chemo or nothing else. It shouldn't be you have to use frankincense and essential oil or nothing else. There has to be, you got to find what works for you because what works for me as a 41-year-old white guy from Poland is not going to work necessarily for a 70-year-old woman from Kenya. We have different biochemistry. Our bodies are different. The melanin on our skin's different. The way my skin reacts to things are different. My bloodstream. So this is true integrative customized medicine. And I want to encourage people to look at this way. And like we talked before we got on air is like this essential oil lifestyle that I'm proposing is really to reduce your toxic burden, to give you in a position where your body will function properly. And here's the interesting thing. That will kind of blow people's minds if they've studied different healing philosophies like vitalism and other things. This essential oil doesn't necessarily battle or cure disease as it does would give your body what your body needs to heal itself. That's something to think about. And if you didn't catch it, press pause and rewind what I just said. Because what essential oils are, they're known harmonizers. They're extracted from adaptogenic herbs and spices, which what are those? They helped your body adapt to the threats or whatever it is that it's dealing with to heal itself. So instead of like, I'm going to use peppermint to, you know, reduce the migraine, it's like, I'm going to use peppermint to help reduce the inflammation, which will then reduce the migraine, which will then help my body heal. It's a completely different approach. So that's why, and this is the wild thing, someone could use ylang ylang, going back to our fun little example of me, you know, at the beach, not wanting to smell like a flower, but you could use ylang ylang, which could help elevate blood pressure for some people, but it also help decrease blood pressure because it's a known harmonizer. It helps create homeostasis. It's completely different than this outside-in approach that medicine has. I have XYZ disease, so I'm going to take XYZ drug. It doesn't work like that. But we do know that inhaling, let's say, and using, ingesting, applying topically essential oils in the citrus family typically has a really good effect on mood. And for people that need it, it could help produce serotonin or dopamine. Bergamot's been shown to be a GABA stimulator for people that battle with anxiety and panic attacks. Which is wonderful to know that you have natural things at your disposal, which helps your body naturally produce the neurotransmitters and hormones that you need to experience the abundant life.
Ah, so interesting. And so cool. We both love ourselves a bit of a history lesson. So thanks for walking us through all of that. Love it. So I think I would like to hear some of your favorite studies. I don't know if I'm sure you can pull them out. Any one of your favorites. Hit us.
Okay. So my last book, we have 50 pages of references. Like literally, like the font had to be smaller because my publisher's like, we can't fit all these pages. So in my last book, the Essential Oils Apothecary, I decided to cover chronic disease. So that includes stress, anxiety, depression, substance abuse, libido issues, erectile dysfunction, all the way to IBD and Parkinson's and cancer. So let me ask you, like, throw at me a chronic condition and maybe I'll come up with a cool study.
All right.
Or maybe, what do you
think? Well, our community, we have joined together because of either the love of gut health or just, you know, wanting to improve gut health. What have you got for us as far as gut conditions?
Love it. Let's tackle. Actually, I'm going to go quote some from my book. I'm glad you said that. I'm on page 276. Okay. Here's the thing. Synergy blends. All right. So when you're talking about successfully managing IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, for example, there's been several studies talking about the antibacterial activity against E. coli specifically. And here's a couple blends. Like these are blends that they came together. And I'll name a couple. Number one blend would be coriander seed mixed with fennel, mandarin, peppermint, sage, tea tree, and thyme. All those oils work together independently to block the growth of E. coli. But when you're looking at, okay, what can I do to maybe mix them together? They have found that when you mix them together in a variety of ways, they're even more effective. And a one blend specifically that had a wonderful effect for up to 6 hours, it stopped the growth of E. coli, was lavender, lemon balm, lemongrass, pine, and rosemary. And again, when you're looking at like how often do I dose essential oils, you dose them like you would a drug. It typically takes 4 to 6 hours for the half-life of the drug to be metabolized. Same thing with oils. Like, and the cool thing is that last blend, lavender, lemon balm, lemongrass, pine, and rosemary, had an efficacy for up to 6 hours, which lends itself. You take it in the morning, you take it at night, gives yourself 6 to 8 hours between doses, just like your gastroenterologist might recommend for some sort of drug. So it just points out that yes, lemon balm works wonders by itself, but when you combine the chemical constituency with other plants, it has this compounding effect. And again, with gut, one study that really shocked me when I first read it was how effective peppermint is really with SIBO, you know, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And they took enteric coated capsules, which are polymer time release capsules, which as a side note, if you're going to be dosing and making your own capsule solutions for gut health, make sure they're enteric coated because otherwise they're going to be digested by the gastric juices in your stomach. So if you truly want something to treat your gut, including leaky gut or whatever it might be, you don't want the capsule to be broken down until it gets into your intestines. And so they did a study on humans. This isn't just animal studies. This isn't in vitro, cells in the petri dish. They gave people 3 to 6 drops of peppermint essential oil in a terracotta capsule. And they found it had wonderful, wonderful effects at soothing inflammation, reducing symptoms of SIBO, and helping at least manage the symptoms. And we don't know if these people would have taken that remedy for 2 months or 3 months if it would have brought healing to them, complete resolution. But the reaction was, on the short term, it greatly helped with flare-ups and the symptoms. A similar study was done with on oregano, and oregano oil literally been shown to repair leaky gut, helps the gut lining restore itself. Like, that is profound. And the thing about it, again, on like the aha moments, you wonder, like, okay, these oils are antimicrobial. Oregano oil is known as nature's antibiotic. Like, carvacrol, the primary component of oregano, has even been evaluated currently right now to treat COVID, because we know that oregano oil is wonderfully effective against our carvacrol, the chemical in primary chemical in oregano. Wonderfully effective again, breaking down bacterial walls, fungi, and can kill viruses. And they looked at other viruses, and like, it could kill MRSA, right? Antibiotic resistant bacteria. So researchers are like, we need to investigate carvacrol. We really need to look at this as a potential therapeutic for COVID. So this is a really potent antibacterial. But here's a cool thing. You don't have to worry about hurting the microbiome in your stomach or on your skin if you're taking these antimicrobials. Like, unlike an antibiotic, unlike chemotherapy, which are essentially like a nuclear bomb that kills everything, essential oils have what's known as, literally in the research, cell selectivity. So you're combing through the scientific studies and you see, wow, these essential oils, oregano being one of them, namely the primary one with gut health and antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal components, leaves the healthy cells alone. So oregano will leave your probiotic, your good healthy bacteria alone. It won't target that. It won't kill it. It won't cause apoptosis or cell suicide, but it'll target the pathogenic ones. So that was the aha moment. It's like, wow, like anything though, let's call it the elephant in the room. You can overdo anything. Like, you know, people can die by drinking too much water. I mean, literally, you drink 10 gallons of water and see what happens to you. Like, you can overdo anything. But if used properly, diluting, using the capsules, follow the recipes and the remedies that we share in our books because they come straight from the research, you will find yourself with literally like zero side effects, zero opportunity for risk, barring the rare occasion of allergies. Or, I'll end with this, drug interactions. Because not nearly enough people are speaking about the potential drug interactions that you can take and experience by taking a supplement or essential oil. People are just doing whatever they want. Oh, let me take a handful of turmeric, or let me take 5 drops of oregano. Whoa. If you are treating a disease, if you're trying to prevent a disease, and if you're currently taking any medication at all, you got to do your due diligence. You got to find out to make sure there's no drug interaction. Because there could very well be, and I can give you examples of some, but the reality is these oils and many of your supplements will have a therapeutic effect on your body. Don't you think that could affect potentially the metabolic pathway of some drugs that you might be taking? And so that's the big concern that we have, is most people are walking around like chemical soup. They're taking a bunch of different drugs or chemicals or eating different foods. They have no idea. They have no idea how their body is going to react to all this stuff. And that's why so many people are having a problem really pinpointing what exactly is they got to do. There's just way too much going on in their biochemistry.
So talking about this soup that we're living in, like, our audience loves learning about detox, particularly detox remedies. So I'm guessing you've got plenty up your sleeve ready to fire at us as to how essential oils can help detox us from this soup that we all live in.
Yeah, let me suggest that I'll tell you, there's very limited research on how essential oils can detox the body of heavy metals, for example. There's a little bit of research on certain essential oils that could help. We know that they could help in the sense that we're talking about extremely rich, potent antioxidant capacity. All right. So we know that antioxidants can help cleanse the body of free radicals and help the body internally cleanse itself and heal itself. And interestingly enough, again, another aha moment in the research was the amount of antioxidants you're going to find in essential oils are not like anything you're going to find in nature. Why? Going back to my example, you're looking at 3 pounds of lavender flowers. So they are very natural in the fact that they're extracted from nature, but they're very unnatural in the fact that they're completely manufactured. Like, you're not going to walk into a lavender field seeing a pool of lavender, right? Does that make sense? I mean, they are potent and they are extracted from nature. So you get 10, 15, 20, 30, 100 times the antioxidant load is what you would in nature. So clove oil, for example, has been reported to have up to 1 million ORAC points or on the ORAC scale, which is the scale of antioxidant capacity, comparative to your wild blueberries, which organic wild blueberries off the top of my head might have like 7,000, 8,000 ORAC points. We're talking 1 million. Like, you can't find anything with as high of an antioxidant load as clove. Nothing in the planet. Wow, clove oil, that is. So that is one way of embracing the antioxidant load to help with the body with the free radicals. But the thing that I want to leave people with is, like, I kind of glossed over it before, but this essential oil lifestyle. Because what do you think flavors your Coca-Cola? What do you think flavors your peppermint mint patties? Anything that has a natural or artificial flavoring to it, all your processed foods. What do you think you're smelling in your poo-poo spray or your plug-in or your aerosol, right? The smell that comes out of these garbage bags nowadays, right? Febreze, you name it. What do you think gives that smell, but also the potency to help your Goo Gone or whatever it is, your anti-stick cleaner? Like, you know, in America, we have this Goo Gone product. It's citrus-based, right? Citrus, hint, hint. And it helps take off like little, you know, smudges, and it helps take off like, you know, goo. That's what it is, Goo Gone. Like, what do you think are in your building materials and your textile materials? It's like you start to think, like, what are essential oils? Out of all of the essential oils manufactured on the planet, and there are a ton, like tons and tons and tons, metric tons of essential oils extracted, 50% are used by the food and flavor industry. 25-ish percent are used by the cleaning industry. Textile, building materials. And then when you get down the line, only like a handful of percentage points are used by aromatherapy, like me and you and other people buying them for healing purposes. So I share that with you is, when you put on body care, when you spray cologne or perfume, unless it specifically says essential oils in it, if you see the word fragrance, if you see the word parfum, if you see the word flavoring, that is a fake synthetic version of the essential oil, which really opens things up to like how ubiquitous they are. They're everywhere. You don't even realize it. If you eat processed food, I guarantee you, you're ingesting essential oils all day long. If you have anything with any kind of smell at all in your house, you're putting yourself at a point where you're exposing yourself to synthetic fragrances, unless it's flat out essential oil based. And the reason I'm sharing that is, what research has shown, especially the artificial fragrances, God help us with that stuff. Artificial fragrances have been linked to neurological brain inflammation that has been linked to dementia, Alzheimer's, cancer, autoimmune disease. Of course, I don't want to diminish, of course, COPD and of course allergies and of course other things like respiratory concerns. But what if there's a known link between, you know, ADHD and autism and what you smell? That's what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with brain inflammation because of the chemicals that people are inhaling all the time. And then when you compound it with what you put on your skin, I'm sure your community has learned so much about leaky gut, but I'll almost guarantee no one's heard about leaky skin. You know, maybe people have heard of leaky brain, but your skin has a microbiome. And in fact, your skin is the first layer of your immune system. It's the first defense. Like, your skin is your hazmat suit. Right? So everyone's thinking about this airborne pathogen that crippled the world. But what's the first thing you need to do is make sure your skin is intact. And for people that have microvilli disruptions, just like how you do with leaky gut, same concept. When you have slits in your skin because your skin is dehydrated or your skin is damaged because of the products that you put on your skin, it allows more chemicals to seep into your bloodstream. It allows pathogens like viruses and bacteria and fungi to get into your bloodstream. It causes systemic inflammation. Your mental health issue, your heart disease condition might be linked to your skin. And very few dermatologists, but there are, thankfully, but very few people are talking about that. Why are we even discussing this stuff? To detox, you have to stop the bleeding. You have to stop the influx of toxins to give your body a chance to detox. Think about that. How do you expect your hand to heal if you cut yourself accidentally, let's say chopping carrots for dinner, if you keep on cutting yourself? Cut, 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 cut nonstop. That's what we're doing by exposing yourself to fragrances and artificial flavoring and all the chemicals that are around our bodies all the time. You got to stop the bleeding and you got to allow it to heal. So that is where essential oils, nothing on the planet can help you detox your life like essential oils. Make your own body care. Make your own cleaning products. Put some in your food to help the antioxidant load, give you more flavor. Once you start to realize how much fragrance you're surrounding yourself with, how much flavor you're surrounding yourself with, you realize, wow, I'm literally surrounding myself with chemicals all day long. And here's a litmus test. If you can spray an aerosol, like your, Febreze, whatever it is, if you could go to your favorite store, big box store in America, we have the Walmarts and the Targets and stuff. If you could go down that cleaning aisle, the aisle with your detergents and the cleaning products and all that stuff, if you could go down that aisle and smell, it's just like, boom, it's like you get hit in the face with the aroma of a cloud of just fake fragrances. If you could walk down that aisle and not get some sort of adverse reaction from that, not experience a headache, a nausea, coughing, sneezing, drainage of your nose. Yeah. If you could walk down that aisle and be okay, that's a problem. You have desensitized your sense of smell. You have lost that primal evolutionary given by God sense to protect you from chemicals, to protect you from smoke. The simple fact that we have to have smoke detectors in our home in America to even sell a house or in apartment complexes is proof to me, not that I'm saying don't have one, but you shouldn't need a smoke detector in your home. Your sense of smell should be keen enough, like our ancestors had that sense of smell that protected them, that told them what foods to eat, what not to eat, to say, hey, this is dangerous, stay away. We've completely dampened our sense of smell, where it's ultimately useless. That's why so many people have to put salt on their food before they even eat it. It's affected their taste. And the reason I'm sharing that is you will find yourself detoxing from that experience if you stop the synthetic fragrances completely. Your sprays, your hand sanitizers, your cleaning products. If I am exposed to any of that stuff, my body immediately gets into that sympathetic fight or flight. It's like, whoa, danger, 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 danger. Again, drainage of my nose. I get agitated. Sometimes I'll get headaches or nausea. I can't handle going into these stores. I literally have to hold my breath to walk past that aisle if I'm ever at a Walmart or a big box store. But if you love spraying yourself with your, whatever these colognes and perfumes are that people wear nowadays, if you're spraying yourself with that, like I was just, God help me, these people that my, these people, us, our friends, our family, myself, I was that person, right? Acqua di Gio, Armani cologne. Like I was just around a friend of mine, colleague who just was like this orb of fake smell. I could barely be around him. Like I was like, oh, I'm choking. Where 10 years ago, I was like, oh, I love that smell. That's dangerous. It's synonymous to this, losing your sense of feeling, where pain is a good thing, by the way. Inflammation is a good thing. It protects your body from damage. It heals you. It says, stop, stop. If you were to put your hand into a fire or a hot stove, you're going to jerk it back. You're like, oh, ouch, ouch. Because if not, your hand will burn off. That's your sense of that's your sensation of pain. And that's the problem with a lot of diabetics is they don't have that sensation of pain. And so their feet get sores in them and that could produce infection. And that's not a good place to be. If you don't feel pain, you're like, wow, this is a problem. I just want to point out that as you get away from those chemicals, and the challenge I want to leave everyone with is if there's one thing that you could do right now is stop the aerosols and the plugins and the fake smells. No more candles. No more anything unless you're absolutely 100% sure it's non-toxic and essential oil based. Stop it and watch what happens. You will develop the sense of smell, the sense of taste like you haven't had since you've been a baby, a young child. And the cool thing is, going back to your question about detox, you will start to function better because what the body sees is a toxin, whether it's a virus, a bacteria, fungi, or a paraben, or a phthalate, or a fluoride, or whatever it might be. It stimulates the immune response. It stimulates that parasympathetic fight or flight response. So when you stop that and your body isn't now high, you're essentially your metabolism. When your metabolism isn't hijacked by constantly cleansing itself of those chemicals, guess what happens? It starts to function better. You start to metabolize food better. You start to assimilate food better. And many people have come up to us and said they start to lose weight. Again, this isn't a cure. I'm not saying you're going to lose 20 pounds by stopping your aerosols. But metabolically speaking, if your metabolism is completely hijacked and being compromised because it is being used to just cleanse itself of the chemicals just to keep you alive, which it is, what happens when you stop that flow, when you stop the bleeding? It's like, oh, I actually can start to function better now. That's why people, just by simply stopping the synthetic fragrances, brain fog goes away, allergies go away, they start to feel better, mood gets restored. It's just like things just shape up. And I'm not even talking about essential oils. I'm just saying stop the bleeding. And then once you like stop the chemical onslaught, and then when you start to add essential oils to it, it's like, whoa, now the body's on this fast track for healing. So it's a wonderful, wonderful example of seeing how God gave our body the remarkable ability to heal itself and to regenerate under the right conditions. But it's really our duty to do our part.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we spoke to Alex Stewart. I don't know if you know who that is. She has the Low Tox Life podcast, and she has her community do the same thing. Put all your smelly stuff in a box, put it in the garage, and see how you feel. Bring it back in and see if you notice a difference. And she finds so many people get like, didn't realize they have like, what they get headaches when they put all the stuff back in their house, or they're just not thinking as clearly. And so it is, can be quite dramatic, and people don't actually realize what their bodies have to deal with until it's gone. So thank you for that reminder. I'm curious, how does the Zielinski family incorporate, I guess, this natural essential oils living into your day-to-day life? What does a day in the life of Eric Zielinski and family look like?
I was actually imagining walking into their house. Like, I was looking at, it's like obviously your house, and I was like, I wonder what it smells like. Yeah.
Let's imagine. Yeah. Look at those pretty walls. Can we see? Can we imagine the aromas coming off it?
Well, I'll say this isn't just for show. My little diffuser back there. Right. That's what we fragrant our house with. And our body care, our cleaning products, no joke, we make a vast majority of everything that we use. That's a big thing. It's a process. It's a journey. And I wouldn't want to daunt anyone with the impossible task of having to make everything starting tomorrow. But it all started with one little thing. It started with maybe making my own after shower moisturizer, or it started with making our own hand sanitizer or whatever. So our lifestyle is very much empowered by we do it ourselves. We know the source. We grow a lot of our own food. We make a lot of our own products, everything essentially. And we do have some processed snacks and things like, you know, we're in this world too. It's not like we're completely whole grown. We're not completely sustainable. But very much so, everything that we've tried our best is to create this wonderful non-toxic environment for my family. And it's wonderful. You know, we have air purifiers in every room of the house because I understand the significance of airborne pathogens and also toxins that are in the air. And it's one of those things where you're going to walk into my home, and like most people say, they're very much welcomed. They're more, very much inviting. Like, this is a house of worship. It's a house of prayer. And I feel they sense the presence of the Lord in the sense of love and joy and peace. And, you know, I have five beautiful, smiling babies. Yeah, they can argue sometimes or get in a lot of fights, but we're happy people. And that's the other thing is the benefits of this lifestyle. You know, whatever reason you want to do it, whether it's for yourself to look better, feel better, whether it's because you want to honor your temple as a Holy Spirit, like us, like we do this as an act of worship to God, and because we just want to live and enjoy our best life now. Whatever your purpose, whatever your reason is, you will get some extremely beneficial side effects and benefits to it. And the thing that we've done is we just love to incorporate them in literally aspect of our lives. Like everywhere in our life that we used to have fake essential oils, you're going to find real essential oils. That's it. And it's taken us as a couple 15 years to do it. And even now, I still learn a thing or two. It's like, oh, and the thing I mentioned in passing, these bags, like garbage bags. I am so upset at the misrepresentation of the labels and the manufacturer. We bought a quote, unscented garbage bag. And I opened it up. I was like, I almost vomited. I got an immediate headache. Like, this is not unscented. This is completely, and I started looking up the reports. I started looking up some of the reviews. It's like, it doesn't have added smell, but it has a quote odorizer. Well, what do you think that is? It's Febreze. It made me not nauseous. It took us 3, 4, 5 different unscented bags to find really unscented bags. Like that's where I'm at right now. It's constant. It's a constant battle, but it's also a constant search to not allow greedy and scrupulous marketers and companies to poison my family. So you're going to meet a people that this is how we live. And this is what we do. And oftentimes when people walk into their home, they feel at peace. They feel calm. They always, always comment about how nice it smells, but it's just not about how nice it smells. It's like, you know, like the edge gets off. To me, it's a wonderful place to be where I love where I live. I live where I love. And I'm at a place that it promotes healing and health. And, you know, as you guys talk about coming out of quarantine, you're in Australia, a completely different world than what we're living in America. But when America was under lockdown, you found a lot of people really struggling. Where thankfully we didn't, because we enjoy where we live. We actually like our house and we made it that way. And the problem is you have these folks, unfortunately, so many people, and maybe you're listening right now and you're like, you know, I really don't like being in my house. Well, change that. You have the ability to change that. You have the ability to completely transform the environment and the ambiance, the feng shui, whatever you want to call it. You could change the essence of your home, the essence of your home by what you smell, by what you look at, by what you hear. And a springboard to my book, The Essential Oils Apothecary, was this concept of forest bathing. And maybe we could touch base on a little bit of that. But essentially what we've done, we've tried our best to bring outside in. The healing benefits of tree medicine and being out in nature, we're actively looking at bringing in my home. It's why we have so many plants in our house. It's why when we listen to soothing music or my baby now is 1 year old, we'll have like little fishy aquarium thing on the TV instead of having his brain rot with stupid baby Einstein, which has been proven to be a hoax, right? We want our children to see nature because nature is healing. You know, one study I quoted in my book, one study evaluated post-op patients, and I forget the surgery. It was some surgery, not to minimize the surgery type, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is you had two groups of people that both had surgery. One group of people had no view of nature in their hospital healing, you know, post-op room. They were in a place where they saw through a window, a parking garage or nothing. And another group of people, same surgery, same hospital, but they had a view of nature, literally a tree or a field or something. The people that had a view of nature, they healed quicker. They got out of the hospital quicker. It was healing to the body. It was healing to the mind. Same thing with sounds, the sounds of commerce, like even the hum, hum, hum of your refrigerator produces the sympathetic response. It creates you're on edge. Honk, 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 you know, cars and this and that, all the sounds of nature, you know, birds chirping and leaves whistling in the wind and all that. Like this is healing. It produces that parasympathetic rest and digest state. And so you start to think like, what's so healing about nature? It's everything. The sounds, the smells, the sight. Like when you cut your grass and you smell the grass, that's the essential oil being emitted from the grass. And it's like, oh. When you walk down a forest and you smell, you're smelling pinene and you're smelling the chemicals from cypress and all the other trees. And that's aromatherapy at its core. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've tried to do. And that's what we have done quite successfully over the years, and we've banged our head against the wall, and we've also done a lot of things like make our own food, and we're very heavily plant-based, and we're very heavily, no to little gluten and like zero. We don't even have processed sugar in my house, like that sort of thing. Like there's certain things we're not willing to negotiate on. And for those things, we just come up with solutions. And we, you know, people that buy our cookbook and things like that, like, oh, wow, it really does taste good. You don't have to have food filled with all kinds of bad chemicals to make it tasty. So all that to say, it's a fun lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle that we incorporate with our children. And we're trying to leave them the legacy of being empowered, that they really can truly control and have a great impact of their environment and over their health.
Wow, sounds amazing. Beautiful. And it's not surprising then to hear that your new book's a bestseller, is that correct?
Yes, already.
Yeah, the new one's already a bestseller. Yeah, thank you. It's like, the thing about it is another essential oil book or another, people are starving, not even hungry. They're starving for solutions to their health problems. They need hope. They need hope and they need guidance. And so, yeah, this last book, it's a springboard off of my first one, which the healing power of essential oils is in like what, 9 different languages right now. It's almost sold 200,000 copies. It's like a global bestseller. It's like, wow. Didn't expect it, quite frankly. I didn't know what was going to happen when I wrote it. But it was a basic book. It was a 101 type of book. It set the foundation for how to use oils, but it didn't give people what a lot of people wanted. It's like, okay, I get the basics, but I want protocols. I want advanced strategies. I have whatever, Alzheimer's. What do I do? I have IBS. I have erectile dysfunction. Like I have uncontrolled depression. What do I do? And that was really the impetus for this book, is to get people advanced strategies and protocols for those chronic disease and conditions that literally not only the top causes of death worldwide, but they're the reasons why people aren't experiencing the abundant life. Because as much as a man of faith as I am, you know, there's only so much abundance I could experience if I'm laid up sick in bed. And that's where I want to encourage, especially people of faith, to recognize that we do reap what we sow. And oftentimes people are sick. People of faith are sick because of their lifestyle choices and what they eat, what they wear, what you wash your clothes with. All these things have an effect of your complete lifestyle. And so that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people manage those symptoms every day, those chronic symptoms that are just pain. And God, just how many people have pain, arthritis. We cover that. We cover that stuff in depth. And if I could help you get through today and sleep better, got a sleep insomnia chapter. If I can help you not battle and not succumb to having to take a Vicodin or a couple opioids to get through the pain, we cover pain in depth. If I could help you with these things, get through the day where you feel better, that's a win. Because it's really, really hard. It's so hard, especially people that are listening right now, and maybe they've watched your documentary series or they've listened to the people on the podcast. It's really, really hard to focus on the 1,500 things that someone needs to do to get healthy if they can't even think. If their knee is throbbing with pain all day long, if they're like, you know, they're walking like cockeyed because of the tension in their neck because of the anxiety and depression. Like you tell someone they got to go gluten-free, you got to go plant-based, you got to use, no, they'll freeze. It's called paralysis by analysis. But I'll tell you, anyone, really easy, can get some lavender, put 3-4 drops in a diffuser, press the on button, and get a better night's sleep. If I could help you do that, that's a win. Because now you'll wake up a little more refreshed. Now you're not going to dread. Now you're not going to have to take fake melatonin or fake drugs to get sleeping. You're not have to drink that bottle of wine and go to bed. Nausea, indigestion. That to me is the biggest thing, is that if I could help with the symptoms, if I could help you feel better day in and day out, now you'll have the energy and maybe even the motivation to do those hard things. That if they are hard, It's not easy to make your own stuff all the time. It's not easy to think about, oh, I got to look at food. I got to like, we basically need a nutrition degree to get through life nowadays. It's like, it's daunting for people. It is. You got to study. You got to watch your series, you know, your series, your documentaries. You got to listen to these other podcasts. This takes time and energy. But how do you even have that time or energy when you're just zapped with pain and sorrow and sleeplessness all the time? So it's just a different approach that I take. And I want to encourage people, if I could get you started on the road to feeling better now, like literally this moment, that might give you the motivation to do what you need to do to cure cancer. That's the mentality of what I'm trying to do. Because chronic disease took years to develop. You just didn't wake up tomorrow. You just didn't wake up today with cancer. You might have woken up today with a diagnosis of cancer, but oh boy, that cancer has been developing for years and years. Same thing with heart disease, same thing with dementia, same thing with libido problems. It takes years to develop chronic disease. It's going to take some time to reverse it. Well, let's help you feel better so you have the motivation, the energy, and want to do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your mission, disease. I certainly loved by many around the world, and that's for good reason, because you guys have such an amazing heart to serve people and to get your healing message out to those that need to hear it. So from Goodness Lover, we appreciate that. So where can they find your book? Like where's the best place for someone to find your new book if they want to keep diving deeper into this essential oils thing?
Yeah, everywhere books are sold, depending, of course, on the country that you live in. I would encourage y'all to go to eoapothecary.com. That's eoapothecary.com. And you'll see a list of retailers that sell the book. But more importantly, though, you get the book and then you sign up for a sweet little gift we got for you. My wife and I recorded about 6.5-7 hours worth of videos where we show you how to make the several recipes in the book. We give you recipe cards, PDFs, charts, all kinds of things, even that drug interaction discussion. We have a chart about all the known drug interactions with essential oils. So you get the book, download the bonuses as our gift to you, because we want to help make this really as approachable and as applicable as possible. We don't want this to be overwhelming. So go to eoapothecary.com.
Awesome. And we'll have that in the show notes as well. But I think that's wonderful, because I think for essential oils, like all that you've said, people are like, oh, that sounds great. But you've also warned us that, you know, you can hurt yourself if you're not doing it right. So that's awesome that you have the textbook, I get in your book of all the theory. And then you've also given people practical ways to actually incorporate it and make sure that, you know, as a principles to help them not hurt themselves in the process. So that's really important. Yeah. That's great. I love that. Awesome. So we'll have that in the show notes, everyone. That was EO Apothecary. And you've been listening to Dr. Eric Zielinski. And we at Goodness Lover are so thankful that you've spent the time with us to share about the wonders of essential oils and give us that, renew our love once again for plants. So thank you.
Welcome. God bless everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in.
So what do you think about essential oils? I hope you got inspired by that chat. I think Eric did an amazing job at clearly communicating its history, usage, and how you can use them today. I think that's a really powerful talk. So share it with your friends and family, and make sure you check out his book. Obviously, he's such an amazing, genuine guy, and really has a passion to help. We just keep talking over top of each other. Let us know in the comments and hit like and subscribe. We would love to hear from you guys as well. Send us an email. We love to read everything that comes through. And yeah, we'll see you guys again next week.
See you then.